Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, increasing clouds, increasing chance for rain going into this evening as well. We'll have a high around the mid-60s. Kenosha right now, the temperature 49 degrees. It's 53 in Burlington, Milwaukee 54, 51 in Racine. Now that the wait is finally over on just where Foxconn is going to put that $10 billion LCD panel manufacturing campus in Mount Pleasant, you can start looking forward to what comes next. Three areas in the village being looked at for this project. The initial project is going to be for an area bounded by the interstate, Highway KR, Brown Road, and Highway H. Then a second area immediately to the north to Highway 11 and an area to the east between KR and Brown Road to 90th Street. Those are listed for future expansion. At the announcement ceremony, Foxconn's Dr. Louis Wu said the company wants to create strategic partnerships with many different companies, and that'll have an effect far beyond Racine County.
But we are not talking about just 13,000 individuals that Foxconn will hire directly, but also be tens and thousands of our suppliers will be coming, and also will be the vertical solution developers. They will be joining us.
Meanwhile, on the heels of the announcement, now come specific locations and job possibilities. The company going to be at UWM this morning, a job fair taking place from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. It's one of many such college job fairs that the company will be undertaking. More than 100 employers expected to be there as part of that. Also, Foxconn technology is on display today from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. at the SC Johnson IMET Center, where the big announcement was made yesterday. And now that we know where it's going to be going, the Foxconn plant, Mount Pleasant working toward dealing with the land purchases involved with that. Village President Dave DeGroote said initially they're going to be buying the land, then they're going to sell it to Foxconn.
Foxconn is going to be heavily invested in this through direct capital infusion and through special assessments that we'll be levying on them to pay for the land.
He is not ruling out the use of eminent domain to acquire all the needed acreage. He is hoping that won't be necessary.
Anything is a possibility because this is such an astronomical scale. This is something that we've never dealt with before. And so we are trying our very level best to have negotiated purchases for everything that we're doing.
DeGroote confirming landowners have been offered about $50,000 per acre. As for a groundbreaking, he's talking maybe sometime in early 2018. Meanwhile, there's about a $764 million incentive package from the village and Racine County toward Foxconn. The tax incremental districts that's proposed with it for the three areas would include for land acquisition, infrastructure upgrades, finance expenses, and contingencies, on top of the $3 billion incentive plan offered up by the state. Project would not, according to Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave, lead to increased property taxes or a county sales tax, said the proposal crafted such that the TIF district uses the almost $31 million in additional property tax revenue generated by the initial 20 million square foot campus to fund the improvements. The main taxpayer protection in this development agreement, Foxconn would pay Mount Pleasant for any shortfall in property taxes if the incremental value is less than $1.4 billion in any year beginning January 1st of 2022. And there's about $160 million in that incentive package going toward water and wastewater infrastructure improvements. There will also be informational meetings regarding the Foxconn proposal. The first will be Wednesday, October the 11th, 4:30 till 6:30 p.m. at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall. Then it's Thursday, October 12th, 5 to 7 p.m. at Racine's Memorial Hall. And finally, Tuesday, October the 24th, 5 to 7 p.m. at Veterans Terrace in Burlington. Meanwhile, Kenosha County officials are going to be keeping close tabs on how this Foxconn development pans out in neighboring Racine County. Kenosha County Exec Jim Cruiser says things like environmental impact, potential traffic congestion, those could be some other concerns, but he says he's got a pretty good relationship with the Racine County Exec, so he's going to hope for a really good communication.
We're going to stay in close communication because we want that to be done right for them and right for us. And like in the history of our relationship, what's good for Racine is good for Kenosha. What's good for Kenosha is good for Racine. And if there's something awry, I know a cell number. We'll be in communication.
Kenosha County's been doing its part, he says, to get ready for increased development in the northern part of the county, citing such things as expansion of Highway S between Green Bay Road and the interstate, also the recently crafted annexation and land use agreement between the city of Kenosha, Paris, and Summers. Racine's Redevelopment Authority set to meet at 6 o'clock tonight at City Hall. On the agenda, among other things, more white box grant requests for a couple of sites on Main Street, one for Douglas Avenue, also discussion about a budget for the RDA, and the unveiling of the new Economic Development's website. Three items involving Habitat for Humanity on the Kenosha City Plan Commission agenda for the 5 p.m. meeting at the Municipal Building. The habitat issues involving property at 2215 67th Street that would be rezoning, amending the land use plan. There's also a medical clinic proposed to be more than 34,000 square feet on 122nd Avenue in the 6800 block. Also a conditional use permit request to create a 14-unit multifamily development in the 800 block of 50th Street. City of Burlington since February of 2015 has challenged the DNR on the wastewater treatment plant phosphorus levels for the effluent put into the Fox River. Now comes a proposed settlement to allow more study time, also potentially file an appeal for the next permitting process. The Common Council's Committee of the Whole, hearing from their attorney, John Belongic, told the alderman initially there was a challenge to an administrative law judge.
The goal at that time was to try and convince that administrative judge that given our location in the Fox River, whatever we were flowing into the Fox River by way of phosphorus did not really harm the river, that we were basically okay, and that we should not be held to the limitations of this phosphorus level imposed by the DNR, and which I think was a result of the EPA.
Meanwhile, Belongic said the city's challenge led to the matter lingering for the past couple of years.
In the recent months, the DNR has contacted me, and what's before it is a settlement arrangement, which I recommend that we accept, and more importantly, that Jim Kleinschmidt, a consulting engineer that we have used from the very beginning on this entire matter, he is in full agreement that we should go with the flow and the settlement agreement.
The DNR is going to reevaluate the phosphorus limitation, which the city can again challenge if so desired, a consulting firm to also present the council with some alternatives in the fall of next year. Otherwise, the Burlington Council to vote on the proposed settlement agreement at its October 17th meeting. The South Shore Fire Department recognizing the employees of Frank Boucher Chevrolet Cadillac for helping them September the 7th during the response to a fire at the Racine Commons Assisted Living Center on Corporate Drive. The Bob Pleasant dealership workers drove over to that facility to help a staffer evacuate the elderly residents, several in wheelchairs or using walkers. In presenting the recognition, one fire official noted that the time saved from otherwise as a priority having to help those residents gave the crews valuable minutes to knock down the flames. Fire caused considerable damage to one part of that building. In Racine, the Common Council sent a couple of Park and Rec Board receive and file recommendations back to the panel this week. The same two aldermen listed on the separate issues did not have a chance to address their concerns. One was the requested removal of vegetation and weeds and invasive trees from the bike trail by the 6th Street Overlook, also on the trail north of the zoo. Alderman Sandy Weiner saying this falls under policy decisions.
The purpose of this communication is to be assured that the Parks Department has the resources, both the equipment and the staff that they need to maintain all the parkland that they've been provided over the last number of years, at the same time that their resources have been reduced. So this communication is intended to be a policy discussion regarding the budget coming up.
Meanwhile, Park and Rec Administration reportedly had known about it for some time, she said. Alderman Rady Hahn noted that Park and Rec has also taken hits on personnel and programs and their budget over the years. Kind of hard to do the job sometimes.
I believe the last count, they had 115 trees that are need removing, and they don't really have the personnel to do it. And I think that this goes back part of this here deal. One of the other thing is out Shoups Park, one of the few places you can really park and observe Lake Michigan. They did come out and clean some of it, but he said they didn't have the equipment. They have to work with Public Works and the Parks Department in order to accomplish it.
City Administrator Jim Palahniuk told the alderman the 2018 budget proposal will include additional personnel in the Parks Department. The other item referred back and was an issue regarding citizen donations of park benches. The Park and Rec Board voting to receive and file, they were told there's already a policy on the books. In Racine County Circuit Court, 16-year-old Keller McQuay pleading guilty to charges of reckless homicide, possessing a firearm as a felon, possessing a short-barreled rifle. This referenced the fatal shooting of his girlfriend, 14-year-old Vista Jackson, in September of 2015. It happened inside McQuay's mother's home on Albert Street. He's going to be sentenced on that next February the 26th. And a Racine woman, 38-year-old Cachay Vaughn, charged with felony physical abuse of a child for allegedly burning her daughter with a hot light bulb. Vaughn reportedly admitting to investigators she used a bandana her 13-year-old daughter had tied to a lamp to remove the hot bulb and touch it to the girl's arm, causing a burn. Girl told police her mother had scolded her for tying that bandana to the lamp because it could catch fire. Vaughn treated for a second-degree burn. The preliminary hearing in that case is set for next week. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.